Brother Dwayne has asked that we read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, and then verses 10 to 24. 1 John has a couple of themes that are referenced over and over. One of them is to know God's love, and then another theme is to love others like God loves us. And really challenging for us to know the love of God. Appreciated we sang number 30, the Holy Spirit led. And just to know the love of God, it surpasses all understanding. But as Christians, we're commanded to know his love. And then to love God, to love others the way God has loved us. That is indeed a challenge here also. I was thinking how the moon reflects the light from the sun. And as Christians, we are to reflect the love of God to others. So we're going to read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and then we're going to go to 10 through 24. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now to verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteousness. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
I'm thankful for the prayers of each of you and of especially of Ray this morning. I might share just quickly where we're at as a seems minor compared to Nathaniel. But I did get my boot off on Friday after 11 weeks, so I feel like a new man. I'm back in the driver's seat, but I had a wonderful chauffeur, and some of you chauffeured me. And now I have a lonely trip to dialysis because it's just me. There's no longer somebody taking me, but I'm thankful for all you did, and I am thankful to get that off. It is progressing the right way according to the doctor, and I can put full weight on that, so that's a good thing. The cancer, some people don't even realize, I think, that there's cancer in my kidney, my transplanted kidney. Kirk's kidney that he gave me wasn't there when he gave it. It came from my body. The cancer in my kidney seems to be in remission at this point. And they're going to confirm that here yet with some more tests. And pretty soon we're hoping to be going to Mayo Clinic in Minnesota to get a bone marrow biopsy. to confirm that, and then we can progress to a possible second transplant. And so that's kind of where we're at. We're hoping things move along a little faster than what they seem to be, but you know, God's timing is never late or early. It's always on time. So we want to trust Him with that. So that's where we're at this morning. Love, love, love. The story goes that that's what a minister did, a pastor. It was a Sunday morning and the parking lot was full and people were used to his long sermons. But as the story goes, the one telling it says they got something from them. But this particular morning, as people sat up in their seats and anticipating a message, he said three words: love, love, love. And he sat down. As the story goes, the one telling it, he says, it wasn't much, but it was enough, because it was the one thing that we all needed more of. Kind of on the humorous side, the ladies in the front row didn't like it, and they said, whatever we're paying him, it's too much. One man said, we got dressed up for nothing. But the writer here, the one telling it, says, I got more from those three little words than from all the sermons I ever heard. First John 3 says some strong words about love and loving one another, or not loving one another. The first verse talks about the great love of God that we received, and I did appreciate that hymn. Thank you, brother, for listening to the Spirit. Verse 10 says that he that loveth not his brother is not of God. This is some strong language. Verse 14 is a test of our salvation, whether we love our brother or not. And it reads like this: we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That takes in our sisters too. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then verse 15 is the complete opposite: whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verses 16 to 18 tell us how we ought to love, laying down our lives. That's how God displayed love to us, by having his son lay down his life for us. And it sounds like the giving of ourselves is what's being implied here, and having others best in mind instead of myself. And then in verse 23, the importance of faith. If you have look at that, it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. The importance of faith in Christ and taking in, obeying his commands. And you see that in verse 22 and verse 24. So we have faith and obedience, obeying the commands. And what's right there with them? Verse 23. Part of how we live out that faith, loving of others. Pretty important. I want to go back to verses 17. But whoso hath this world's goods, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have experienced firsthand those verses from you. Your financial help over the past 6 years. Yes, it's 6 years since the initial diagnosis of a kidney issue. But your financial help, over that time, we can't thank you enough. And we don't have the words to say it completely, how we feel in our hearts. But that's only part of our lives. And only one of the ways that we've experienced these verses. And this morning, I plan to do something a little different. Something you're not maybe used to, but I'm not either. But Carol and I want to express and recognize those who have a positive impact on our lives. And so, I want to express that to those over here on the side. Thank you for how you've impacted our lives, what you've done for us in this congregation. And then to the ones in the front section here. You've impacted Carol's life and mine over the years, different ways. Appreciate you. Thank you, brother. And up here, wow, there's some. And here's two rows. One Sunday afternoon, you visited us. It wasn't on your schedule, but it just came to mind to somebody, and you decided to come sing soon after my toes were broke. And you blessed our lives. We could hardly get you in. It was that many of you. You youth are such a blessing to Carol and I. I don't know how to convey that, except for to say it. Thank you. Do you realize what we have and the amount of youth that we have in this congregation? You know, we plan things, and you know what? They show up. They show up. George, you were firsthand to it just last weekend. They show up. It's a wonderful thing. So we love you. Thank you for how you've impacted our lives. Wow, friendships. Thank you. Thank you. Even at 90-some. Thank you. Thank you for how you've been a blessing to us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stacy, you have touched our lives. Thank you to all you back here in this section. I think I skipped some over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for Carol and I. You don't realize the impact that you've had, and well, it's soon 40 years. We're going on 40. Some of you have passed that. Thank you. Marshall, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. There he is. Thank you. You. Hi, buddy. Thank you. Now, my purpose this morning, if you noticed, I went from the side to the front to the back. And I could have named names, but I didn't want to miss anybody, and I certainly don't have time to name everybody. But really, you know what? Everybody here has impacted our lives. Positively, in a positive way. And I want to say some things. I don't know if you remember those that did this, but while Carol was on bed rest, I guess I should say, for a couple months before the twins were born, some of you came into our home, sisters. You gave of yourselves, helped us out. We had two other little ones, and you were there, and you supported us. We get cards on a regular basis from certain individuals in this congregation that encourage you. The cards that certain people have sent to us, text messages that I get from brothers that encourage, and sisters sometimes even, the messages that we've received over the years. Yes, the financial part is, we can't thank you enough, but it's all these other things. I had a brother who on his day off, as soon as he knew my toes, I couldn't drive, took me to the doctor, sat in the waiting room for about an hour. I think that's living out the verses that I read. Laying down your life for a brother. You don't know this, but I think I'm free to share this, Glenn. You don't mind. I called Glenn about early evening last night. I think it was early evening. Because I wasn't feeling good yesterday, not good at all. When I'd get up, I felt like I was getting dizzy and going to fall over. I had to sit down. And it didn't look too promising for this morning. But I knew the second day after dialysis is always better. So I called Glenn and I said, hey, could you have something that maybe you didn't preach? He was on standby. He said, yeah, I'll do that for you. He was on standby to preach this morning. If I would have called him this morning, he was going to preach. I said, well, bring it along anyway, just in case. And I know every one of my brothers would have done the same thing for me. George, I knew you had to teach, so I left you alone. You had enough to think about. But this is George's turn. Him and I switched. And so he took my turn earlier because I wasn't ready, and now I'm taking his. So I did. But at any rate, I'm just telling you how people, the blessing of brothers and sisters that we've experienced. What's the common thread? First of all, it's that God loves us. Verse 1 of 1 John 3. Behold, or see, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me, upon you, that I could be called a child of God. It's incredible love that we're under. We take it for granted. 50 years ago, it was 50 years in August, that the Holy Spirit caused enough in me to know that I needed to do something about my eternal destiny. And I think I was sitting back there somewhere, possibly where Lester and Cindy are sitting. It was during those 2-week summer revivals, no air conditioning. That's the way it was 50 years ago. The windows were up. Right, Uncle Donald? You remember them well. And Robert. But I stood up to accept Christ, and I was afraid of water, so that was a tough decision. I wasn't used to being in the water, and baptism was a scary thing to me. But the Lord got me through that, and that decision was genuine and real. But there's a lot of things that have happened since then. There's been a lot of new beginnings, as Brother Harold Martin used to call them. There were things I had to go back and make right with others and get straightened out because the Holy Spirit brought it to mind, to my heart. And here I am 50 years later. But you know what? Even through all those times, and there was a time where sin had a pretty good grip on me. And the only explanation is that God released it. There was mercy and there was grace and there was a rescue by Him. Every time I turned around and was trying to walk away from God in some way, guess what? There was mercy and grace. Every time. You know what? He gave me a life that I don't deserve. A wife and family that I don't deserve. So here we are. You realize that every believer in here has some kind of testimony. What's yours? So the one common thing that we have is that we're experiencing the love of God. The second common thing is that we love Him back as believers. There's a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout this building, there's a desire to love Him more. Oh, that we can love Him more. And I think that that's our desire throughout all our life. Because we never totally get there. Right? And it's not like I'm trying to get there to earn something, because everything about my salvation is about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about Him. I'm resting on Him, what He's done. That's it. His blood, that's all that will carry me. So, our common thread is that we're experiencing the love of God and that we love Him back. There's a desire here to love Jesus more. And then thirdly, we experience the love of one another. We experience that love. And you know, sometimes we're experiencing that, and 1 John 3:1, that love of God is shed abroad, or is another scripture says it has been shed abroad in our hearts, but here it says that, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that is there, that we are to share with one another, that love of God. So we are experiencing that, but I think we can do better. Would you agree? I know I can. A lot better. Because when I look at what that loving of others, and when I look at how God defines or tells us what love is, ooh. Do I ever fall short? But this morning I want to look at some of those characteristics, and we won't cover them all, but of what genuine love is. And with 1 Corinthians 13 in mind, that great chapter on love. And I would ask you, maybe you don't, but if you get a chance and you have the accessibility, read that chapter in the ESV version, or the English Standard Version, and it'll bring it out a little better. What love is it? We're expected to have that kind of love. Well, the first characteristic I want to mention of this love is love needs humility. It needs humility. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about not being puffed up, so on. But it needs humility, and pride can come in so easily in things that I say, things that I do, and so subtle, but it's there. It can come in, and God hates it. He hates pride. So love. And then what that does is it messes up when I'm trying to show love. It don't work. Love needs humility. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't, I'm sure. But I'm going to share it because it makes a point. It's 20-some years now, and I was delivering in Baltimore to a pharmacy store for the company I worked for. It was a nice morning. It might have been around 7 o'clock. I'm not sure when it was. But our responsibility, I was up in the trailer because my responsibility was to get the stuff to the side of the door of the trailer, and they came out with carts and took it from there. So all I had to do was get it to the side door. While I was there, a young man came up to standing on the ground at the door of the trailer. And he said to me, he said, why don't you come down out of that trailer? And I said, what? It just didn't kind of ring with me. I said, what? And he said, why don't you come down out of that trailer? And I said, why do I want to do that? It might have been the wrong question to ask him, but it got to the point. He said, because I have a gun on you. And he pulled up his t-shirt, and sure enough, he had a gun sticking there in his britches. And at that point, I thought it was a good idea to get out of the trailer. So I did. And he and I don't know how many it was, maybe one or two at least. It wasn't more than that. Maybe about three of them all together, I'm not sure. He followed me as we walked into the store. And I made the mistake of kind of looking behind me, and I figured that was not probably good. You know, he didn't want me to see them probably and what was going on. It's best to just look straight ahead. But at any rate, he took us over to the office. Obviously, they wanted in the safe. The safe was in the office. So we had to lay on the floor. To my left was the manager. To my right was a girl that was there to help unload the goods. We laid on our stomachs. I know, it wasn't like this back then. It was more possible at that point. But we laid flat. And thankfully, the manager claimed to be a Christian. He held up well and under what he was supposed to do. But they came around, they wanted our wallets, and I said, mine was in my back pocket, but they never touched it. Never touched it. Thankfully, because of all I don't even know if I had much money, but. And then they had our hands behind our backs. And they wanted to tape them, and when they got to me, I don't know, I guess I was doing something wrong, but they said, this one isn't cooperating very well, and I thought, wow, I don't want to hear that. And it's funny now, but it wasn't then, I'll tell you that. I had heard execution style robberies. And I really didn't know if I was getting off that floor. So you know what they did? When they had what they wanted, or at least what they could get, he said, okay, you count to 100. And basically then we could get up. He said, if you don't count to 100, you get up soon. He said, we'll come back and kill you. So we lay there, three adults. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, we counted to 100. I didn't know if I wanted to look up. They were gone. But my point here this morning is that was humbling for three adults to lay on the floor and count to 100. But you know what? Adults need humility. We need it. And if we're going to love, it's got to be there. We need to have that humility. And the second point is that genuine love is patient and kind. It accepts people as they are, not as we want them to be. Part of kindness means we be sensitive to others' feelings and thoughts. Sometimes kindness Sometimes kindness is just a smile or a few words to someone. I try to really be kind to those that serve me and treat me. I'm not perfect. But they're giving of themselves to help me. So a good attitude or a good smile and some kind words are ways of that love of kindness. Someone has said that the degree to which you are growing in kindness is the degree to which you are growing in love. Think about that. So genuine love is humility or needs humility and is patient and kind. Number three, genuine love is not self-seeking. It doesn't have to have its own way. Number four, genuine love is respectful. This includes loving others even with differences. And we're respectful of each other. It means being careful how we talk about each other. Genuine love is respectful. Number five, genuine love is truthful. It rejoiceth not in wrongdoing, but rejoiceth in the truth. For it to be genuine love, there has to be truth. There needs to be honesty. Love without truth is not love. Not according to God. Sometimes it asks hard questions, but it's still love. Number six, genuine love is transparent. No hidden motives behind this act of love. No hidden motives, no hidden agendas. No selfish motives. Nothing to hide. Includes accountability. And you know what? What happens when we have that transparent love? You know what it leads to? Trust. Leads to trust. So genuine love, and this was a quick this morning, love is humility. Oh, how I need it. We need it. Patient and kind, not self-seeking. It's respectful, truthful, and transparent. And I believe if we have that transparency, we do so much good for us. If this love is evident in our lives, relationships all across this building are going to grow. I guarantee it. Be based on God's word and what that love can do. They will thrive. They will flourish. I remember Brother Luke in one of his sermons over the revival, he said something about the bean field. Remember about the bean field? And that, like, protecting your own bean fields. Am I getting that right? We need to protect our bean field. And love, as God has described it, and loving one another, will do that. I personally, as I went back through there and I did that, and that part, that was part of my point. I don't want to lose what we've got. We have something special here. Think of the difference. If we all left a three-worded sermon, impact our lives. Love, love, love.
I want to give time this morning for a testimony. Anybody, come up to the mic. We'll give time for one. Anybody want to share? Are you sure? Okay, let's stand for prayer.